Moncrief on News Talk.
We're going to start today with this very strange story that Reform are putting forward a motion to ban the use of Irish in election leaflets, even in Northern Ireland, which of course would be directly illegal in the Good Friday Agreement. To tell us more about this is Barry Andrews, Fianna Fáil MEP. Barry, how are you today?
Great, Tom. Yeah, great to talk to you.
Enjoying the sun?
Well, I'm in Brussels actually, and it's even hotter than Dublin. So it's you've got to stay in the shade here. It's about 30 degrees. So, and I'm in my office. So,
right, really will you be watching yourself. England tonight?
Definitely. Yeah, that's is very exciting. England, Argentina, great history, great tradition, and yeah, can't wait to see it.
Are you up for England?
No. I'll say on the World Cup, I'm really excited to see President Trump handing the World Cup to the Spanish. I think, you know, he at the recent NATO summit, he was highly critical of Spain, wants to ban trade with Spain. It would be wonderful geopolitical karma if he had to hand it over to the Spanish.
Oh, I never thought of that. That would be completely brilliant. And the halftime entertainments of Madonna, I believe, take place as well. My God, what's the world coming to? But listen, speaking of what's the world coming to, what are Reform coming to? I mean, what are they up to?
Yeah, look, it's a problem that exists, I think, in Westminster, is that a lot of the time Northern Ireland is forgotten about. Sometimes Wales is forgotten about, sometimes Scotland is forgotten about. There's a growing English nationalism. And so yesterday there was supposed to be a debate that included an amendment that would have made it illegal to circulate election materials in any language other than English and Welsh. So if somebody was running for election in Northern Ireland and they put up a poster with "Vote All Ibrahim" or they had something in Irish in their election material, they could be at risk of a jail sentence of 6 months. So it was from a Reform UK MP. Now, subsequently, when he realised the mistake, essentially, or his oversight, they said they would walk back this proposal. They said that it wasn't their fault. Somebody had incorrectly included Scotland and Northern. But whatever the reason for it is, it really underlines that a lot of the time Westminster forgets about Northern Ireland. And I think as Reform gets stronger, that kind of English nationalism is going to be a problem for not just Northern Ireland, but also for Scotland and Wales.
Right. And I know there was one man putting it forward, but they all put their name to it, didn't they?
They did, you know, and sometimes parliamentarians are attracted by the general idea. It's essentially what they were really trying to do was to make it impossible to use non-European languages, particularly Asian languages like Urdu, in election material. And this is coming from Reform UK. They have a particular ideology about immigration, about new communities that are living in the United Kingdom, which actually runs completely counter to the UK. The UK has been an absolutely fantastic example of integration at a political level. When you look at Rishi Sunak, you look at James Cleverly, Suella Braverman, the you know, people from different communities who have risen to the highest political offices in the UK. So what Reform UK are doing, you know, their ideological approach, it had an impact in Ireland and may do in the future if they come into government. But I think essentially they were aiming this towards the Asian communities living across England.
Right. Suella Braverman, one of the people putting her name to that, isn't she?
I mean, this is the thing, you know, sometimes it's the zeal of the convert, you know, somebody who has risen up to in first of all in the Conservative Party and now with Reform. She seems to seek to demonstrate her credentials as, you know, against the what she would perceive as a kind of a woke agenda to try to encourage integration, to try and recognise that, you know, demographic challenges are there and migration is part of the solution. And, you know, people who look at refugee issues a bit more from a humanitarian point of view than a security point of view. So, you know, maybe that explains why Suella Braverman put her name to it. But I would say it's more or less, as far as Ireland is concerned, it's an oversight, but that is a problem. That is a problem in the future. I mean, English nationalism is growing. You know, England used to be the centre of the empire. They had an outer empire that collapsed after the Second World War. The kind of the inner empire of Scotland, Wales and Northern Ireland is also fragmenting a lot. And, you know, the curious thing is that England is the only country in Europe without its own parliament. there's a parliament for the whole of the United Kingdom, but there is no parliament for England. And it's really come into focus now, this whole question of English nationalism, because Reform UK are doing so well in the opinion polls. You know, will they end up in government after the next Westminster election? And what does that really mean for Northern Ireland? What does it mean for Irish, Anglo-Irish relations? That's something we're also going to have to consider.
When you say it's a known goal, and they've offended people right across the islands of Ireland, they're obviously the receiving end of the Scottish National Party getting stuck into some despicable anti-Scottish amendment.
there's no love lost there. And, you know, the weird thing is the Reform are in the main opposition party in Wales now, because they did very well in the Welsh local elections and the Senate elections that happened in Wales, sorry. And so they're having to come up with some kind of regional voice. But generally, yeah, they tend to really focus on Englishness and the Scots. You know, no love lost there, no doubt about it.
I was very taken to by the Cornish. I mean, there's not that many Cornish, in fairness.
Yeah, that came as a surprise to me, Tom. I mean, I didn't really know there was that. That was maybe it demonstrates my own ignorance of local languages and what is surviving in England, actually. But yeah, there was some objections from the Cornish community, the Ulster Scots, supporters of Ulster Scots tradition in Northern Ireland, and obviously Conradh na Gaeilge were very, very explicit. And their point was, look, both governments, Britain and Ireland, are obliged to support the explicit framing of the Good Friday Agreement and the defence of the languages. So it was disappointing to see that. But I think I will also make this point that, as I said, I'm sitting here in Brussels. And because the single market, the European single market, applies in Northern Ireland, we have to keep an eye on making sure that what we do by way of legislation here in Brussels bears in mind that this will apply in Northern Ireland. And sometimes we forget as well in Brussels. And that happened most dramatically around COVID vaccinations, where an export ban was applied temporarily and was withdrawn immediately. But both Westminster and Brussels are from time to time guilty of forgetting their responsibilities to Northern Ireland. So I think this Reform example just proves the point once again.
Right. I hate to go on about the Cornish thing, but I thought I was the only person who knew that there was, you know, a healthy Cornish scene, largely because there was an album released in Cornish there a few years ago from an artist called Gweno, who, as we speak, is actually on tour in Ireland. As it turns out, she's playing at the Galway International Arts Festival.
Well, if she runs for election, or he or she runs for election in Cornwall, she will be under threat of being arrested and imprisoned for 6 months if she uses the Cornish language in her election material. So there you go. Maybe she'll have to see, they'll have to seek extradition from Ireland at the end of her tour.
Well, I hope she's listening to this now. Play it safe.
Fair warning.
The Cornish, they were pointing out that in order to enforce this, you'd need to take on people who were, you know, au fait in all the various languages that they're trying to ban, which would mean generating extra costs right across the board. But it's not a great look for Reform, is it?
No, it's not. And like, we do have to have a debate in Ireland about what Reform will mean for the Republic, essentially, if they do come into government. You know, they're talking about doubling down on Brexit. They want to make it even more barriers to trade between the EU and the UK. And that obviously, it could have impact. We very much rely on the UK for some of our security and defence capability. There's this memorandum of association between the UK and Ireland, and Reform have been saying recently that, you know, Ireland is sort of freeloading on UK defence capability. Ooh. And, you know, we should really be, because we're a wealthy economy, you know, we should be paying up. And therefore, you know, why should the UK, which is struggling with its public expenditure, be providing for the defence of Ireland across the Western seaboard, when we should be spending a lot more on our own security and defence? So that argument, and that's kind of fueled by Reform's view that, you know, this legacy legislation where ex-British soldiers could be prosecuted for offences that committed in Northern Ireland during the Troubles, Reform is very much against that, and they see the Irish government promoting that idea. And therefore, you know, it's part of that whole future of where we see Ireland in relation to a possible Reform UK government.
Yeah, that whole not paying your way, it's very much echoes of Trump and his NATO not paying its way, doesn't it?
Yeah, it's similar to that. And it's kind of a subset of that argument, you know, because, you know, whereas NATO, US would say they provide a security blanket for Europe. Yeah. Equally, the UK argument, they provide a security blanket for the Republic of Ireland. And so, yeah, it's a similar argument. And to be honest with you, it's a fair argument. We should be doing more in terms of investing in security and defence, just because, you know, if we are neutral, we have to be able to defend ourselves. I mean, that's the first thing of any neutral sovereign country. To be able to, so yeah, I kind of accept the motivations might be different, but it's probably the right conclusion.
Okay, Barry, listen, thanks very much for joining us, and enjoy the game tonight. And I think the vision of Trump giving the World Cup to Spain is a good one.
Something to look forward to. Yeah. Okay, John, thank you.
Barry, thanks very much indeed.
Moncrief, weekdays at 2 on News Talk. Conversation that counts.